Welcome to PCMC. It is Halloween.
It's the witching hour. It's the midnight hour. We've just begun.
Halloween 2023.
Ooh. I wish you were there with like a metal baking sheet, like making it wobble.
Yes. Like... Yeah, we need more Foley work.
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely we do.
Yeah. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm here with lean, green, mean, Jeanine Guillotine, Gagliardi.
I was waiting for the guillotine. That's every year. That's not even on Halloween time. That's just...
It's just
because my love of the French Revolution.
Yeah. your love of...
Robespierre.
Yeah.
You know him.
So, it's the best time of year. Mm-hmm. This is the third episode. We're halfway.
What have we done?
We have done Halloween 1978 with Anthony.
Of course.
And we did Friday the 13th with Nadia.
Wonderful.
Yes. And we have today we have...
Oh, the gruesome.
The yeah, when I put out the text message and I was like, these are the slashers I want to do. Who wants to do what? And my brother Anthony was like, I want to do Halloween. And Jen was like, I don't want to do anything. And you were like, I want to do Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And you wrote back, you sick bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, because it is grimy. It's a grimy film.
It's like dirty film. It's like physically dirty film. It looks like somebody threw dirt on it before.
You watch it and then you have to like wipe the grease off your TV.
Yeah, it's like the lights were dusty or something that they were trying to film with. It is the whole thing is dirty and disgusting.
The whole movie smells like the alleyway behind a KFC.
It smells like a can of lard that like fell in the dirt.
It's super gross. And
everybody in it is gross.
Yeah, everybody's gross.
Everybody's gross.
It's the most gross final girl. She's the most, and I don't mean that in a physical way.
So like, insult
her. She has no poise. Like some of the other final girls are like, oh, stop. She's like immediately lost her shit, which by the way is so realistic.
Well, yeah.
She cannot stop screaming.
That's the part, honestly, I don't find the violence to be relentless. I find her screaming to be relentless. Like it just doesn't.
Her fear never lets up.
Yeah, it never lets up.
It's a great movie because, and we'll talk all about it, watching it again, the thing that I found with this whole month has been, how do these, going back to these things that I've seen a million times but haven't seen recently, how do they go back after years of the cultural consciousness of it and bad sequels and remakes, and how are they different from how I remembered them? Mm-hmm. First, I remember there's so much more stuff before they get to the house that I totally forgot about.
Oh, so much more.
Way more than just the hitchhiker. There's like...
I had completely forgotten about Franklin, by the way.
Really?
I forgot about him as a character when he showed up in the wheelchair. I was like, wait, where did this guy come from? Who is this?
I always think of Dennis Hopper in part two when he finds Franklin's wheelchair. And he's like, Franklin!
Oh, my God.
He freaks out.
Honestly, who liked Franklin?
Franklin is both the most annoying character and the only character.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Because like we're like several minutes in, I'm like, God, I hate Franklin. But then when he's in the house and he's like blowing raspberries at them, I'm like, Franklin's really running away with this movie.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing I didn't remember is that it's sort of a fever pitch. Like it doesn't kind of ebb and flow. It kind of like starts a weird level.
High.
Yeah. With grave robbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Immediately drops. For like a good half hour.
And then just
And then it's done.
Yeah, it's a short little picture.
Yeah, it's quick. It's an hour and 23 minutes. We dropped off the kids at school, came back and watched it at 10 o'clock in the morning.
You disgusting, nasty bastards. You're filthy and gross.
We're like, let's have some breakfast and watch.
I watched it also during the day and... It put me off my food. I was like, I can't eat.
You can't
watch
eat and watch it. No,
it,
no.
It makes me like I went out after to go to Applebee's, like you do, and usually at Applebee's I get like an Impossible Burger. Well, I'm a superior person. I'm a vegetarian,
right?
And I was like, I can't even get fake meat right now because it's just I'm just gonna find a tooth in it.
Yeah.
So, but before we get ahead of ourselves,
we do.
You and I have a tradition.
That's right.
I don't know how it began. How did it begin at this point?
It began with you giving me the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, right.
Picture book. Well, not me. It was actually a gift for Henry.
Yes. Still hasn't thanked me for it.
No. Yeah. And he won't. Yes. Giving me that picture book. And I was like, this is his love language. I have to reciprocate his love language with
it's my Halloween my love own. Language.
Indeed. Indeed. So, but you're a gift giver. You are. I think you take great joy in giving gifts.
I do.
Yeah.
I enjoy giving gifts.
It's your love language. It is.
Is that acts of service?
No. Acts of service is a different love language. There's acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, and there's something else.
Okay.
Oral, I think.
That's acts of service.
That's acts of service, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or a gift, you know?
It yeah, could be I mean.
Any of those things. Quality time? Yeah. Really?
But, yes. Okay. So that's how it started. So I guess the next year, then you got me something.
Yeah, I got you. Of course.
But I appreciate it, because also like a Christmas gift is a gift, but we give Halloween themed gifts.
Right, they have to be themed.
It's not Halloween. Just a gift because we're celebrating Halloween. Mm-hmm. It's a Halloween gift, and I know how much you like Halloween, mm-hmm. So that's why. So I have gifts. Not wrapped.
No, and, mine aren't either.
In any which way. And Bill is here. He's playing...
What are you playing over there?
As much as I complained about in the last episode, I'm playing Zelda.
He's got no respect for himself. Bill, I have a gift for you.
Oh.
Come and get her.
Look, I'm drinking out of your Alaska.
Ah!
Look at that. Mine broke.
I have so many Halloween mugs.
Hey, everyone.
William, this is
what
for you.
What did you get? What is it?
Ooh, it's a Mickey Mouse hoodie.
Oh, I might steal that.
Hold on.
I might steal it, she says. It's a first thought.
I might steal that. Oh, because it's real big and nice.
Oh, look how frightened Mickey is.
He's so scared.
That's a scared Mickey.
That's a frightened Mickey.
But you know
Mickey.
What? I like that it's not obviously Halloween necessarily.
Well, then you won't
right?
like yours because yours is very obviously Halloween.
Uh-oh.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You don't see
this?
Mickey other than happy.
This is so cool.
He's nervous. Janine is opening hers.
I love mine.
They're just in the plastics that they came from Shop Disney
Thank
in.
Thank you.
I like the color of yours.
I really love it.
What would you call that?
Let me see. Oh,
hold it. A dark peach?
This is dark pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it taupe?
It's not taupe, not even a little bit, but I love it.
It says Horror Haunts and Hayrides. Happy Halloween 2023. It's got a spooky Mickey and a spooky Minnie.
It's
and
like vampiric.
Yes.
Bats.
And
spooky pumpkins. And I love the Chippendale.
They're yes, cute. Yes. They're frightened to be on that shirt.
They sure are. And it's like spooky Disney castle.
Yes.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I love it. And can't wait to wear it.
Yeah.
I will wear it a lot.
Now, last year, around this time was when we were at Not So Scary Halloween.
That's right. We just we were just saying today, like, this was our first day back.
You got me the Madame Leota's ballroom. Like little like diagram.
Like a diorama.
Diorama.
So we recorded Halloween prior to the Disney trip. Last year, and so I only had like little things for
you
because I wanted to get the present like in Disney while we were there, so that was fun. Okay, so this one is for Jen, but you can open it because you know this will come out after she sees what it is.
Okay. Malibu Barbie. It is a pink t-shirt.
We did pink Halloween this year. Look at that.
Yeah, well, that's like a thing.
I like
now.
Pink Halloween.
Isn't that a new thing?
I do like pink Halloween.
Malibu, and it's like the original Barbie, but she's like got zombie pallor to her, and it's like spooky Barbie. It's really nice. I like this a lot, actually.
It's really cute. I like that it's sort of that like rockabilly aesthetic.
Yeah. I like that it's like old Barbie or OG Barbie.
OG Barbie.
And spooky eyes.
Yeah, she's got those like, is it like Vampira eyebrows?
Yeah. And this was original Barbie looked down, not at you.
Oh.
Because she was based on, I guess, like, I don't know, Renaissance portraits or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It was a big deal when Barbie started looking at the kid.
Oh. She was demure.
Yes, right. So she averted her gaze.
Yeah.
Averted her gaze.
She is not. Well, she's looking into the side. She's like giving side eye.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
But it's Malibu, B-O-O.
A lot of fun. That's more fun than it needs to be, really. That's awesome.
Well, I hope
she's
going to
love
it.
That. She's going to absolutely love that.
All right, and this is yours.
This is mine.
This is wrapped, but not by me.
Oh, you could have taken. Could have done it. It is a tumbler. First of all, I like how thin and cylindrical it is.
Right?
It's not like that overly
not ergonomic for your hand.
Yeah, it looks like a tall boy alcohols. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it is VHS Spines, Friday the 13th, Halloween, The Exorcist, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Child's Play, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Carrie. Perfect for the theme of this month, which is Slashix, which, as far as we can tell, is not a copyrighted term.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, as I've been saying, they use it on Shudder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But also other places use it. So I'm guessing anyone can have it.
Okay.
So Slashix.
Slashix.
This is very cool. Thank you so much.
I've been
wanting more stuff like this because I've been bringing my beverages with me, you know, to try to avoid the little joys in life and save money. whenever someone's like, "Why do you buy coffee?" I always think about that. Is it Reductress or maybe it was.
It's probably Reductress, yeah.
He was like, the person brings lunch from home to avoid the small joys in life. This is really cool. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You know, I love that VHS aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today I Googled, how do you put your podcast on a cassette tape?
Oh.
And I could not find, here's what I wanted. I wanted some bespoke service that I could pay and they would do it. And I didn't find that. I found just like people explaining on Reddit, like how you can probably just do it. Like get the biggest answer seemed to be like get one of those radio adapters so you can use Bluetooth on a radio and then on like an old boombox just record.
Oh.
But I want like a nice VHS cover. I think that'd be such a great little stocking stuffer.
Or here. Just like a PCMC cassette.
Yeah.
What would you put on it?
I don't know. Maybe it's the. Some Christmas episode or something.
If it's like you could do. I mean, if you really expanded this, you could do all the Halloweens. You could do all the Christmases. Yes.
I like to think that there are listeners that get as thrilled for Halloween as I used to get thrilled for like the Roseanne Halloweens.
Okay,
like Halloweens are coming. I love a Halloween special.
I've always loved Halloween specials.
Halloween specials are the best.
Especially Peter, even though Henry was always my Halloween boy, and he still is, Peter takes it year-round. Like, Peter wants Halloween specials all year-round.
He's correct. He's right.
Yeah. I mean, we've succeeded as parents, I would say. I don't think we need to do anything else for these kids.
No, I think you're done.
You know,
No, you can wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we're fine now. So, with that.
So, I can't wait for your children to hear the Texas Chainsaw Massacre episode.
Oh.
So we've been doing kind of outlining a rough lineage of this genre.
Okay.
We've decided that the sort of progenitors are Peeping Tom and Psycho, which came out the same year.
I don't know anything about Peeping Tom.
Basically, it's a much lower budget movie than Psycho. Mm. But Hitchcock even said, like, I was inspired by Peeping Tom. Because he'd been making color movies at that point. And he was like, I want to make a movie that's cheap. No one will fuck with me. I can use the crew from my TV show and just make it in black and white. And that's how I made Psycho.
Yeah.
And Psycho was gritty and dirty compared to what he was making at that point.
At the time. Okay.
Peeping Tom is more dirty. It's more... it's got more of the... it's got more of an overt sexuality.
Okay.
And then the weird thing that happens... in most like lineages is then we jump from Psycho to Halloween. But this movie's older than Halloween. Yeah, and but
is it?
Yeah, Halloween's 1978.
Oh yeah, then Texas Chainsaw 74.
It's 74, yeah. And it's not like it's forgotten. It's well remembered, yet it feels like it's not put in that lineage for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. You know, I think it's because Texas Chainsaw doesn't follow. Even though in some ways it does follow the format of like a classic sort of slasher film, in many ways it doesn't. And it feels more akin to the modern, like, it's like a precursor to the, like, the torture porns.
Yes, I think that's a good point. I think that's a good point. There's no stalking in it.
I mean,
either. There.
Yeah, I agree. There's brief stalking and really not much.
The way I thought about it when I watched it yesterday was, I was like, you know, this movie is about flies in a spider web.
Yeah.
Like, they basically march themselves into hell.
They break into his home.
Yeah, and there's that moment where he freaks out.
Stand your ground, you know? Yeah. In the state of Texas, I think he's completely within his rights. Leatherface did nothing wrong.
Right.
Three people broke into his home. Right. Yeah. And he was start. He's, you know, he's not. People keep breaking into his home. He's alone.
Yeah.
He's home alone. That's scary.
He freaks out.
That's scary for a 6'4", 300 pound man with size 14 feet.
Yeah.
That's very scary.
It's there's that crazy moment where we switch point of views a little bit.
Yes. Because he's like flipping out in the.
Yeah.
And
we were just with this dude who I call Glasses.
Glasses. That's all his personality hippie. Is.
Yeah. He gets murdered and then like.
I call him Ginsburg.
He's got the Balaban glasses for sure.
He totally looks like Bob Balaban. Yeah.
He, in one false swoop, or what is it?
It's lose three people in like the span of 2 minutes.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And
Franklin is gone.
Franklin is
so quickly as well.
And
it's really her movie. Yeah. Like, it's five of them.
Yeah.
Or no. Yeah, it's five of them. And then
yes.
Four of them are gone. Just
like two guys,
immediately.
Two girls, and a Franklin.
And a Franklin.
Which is my favorite sitcom.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds is on that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's how he began.
That was it.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is directed by Tobe Hooper.
Yeah. Who did Poltergeist, and I didn't know it till I was doing the reading on this movie.
Yeah, because that was...
And Steven Spielberg picked him.
Right, because Steven Spielberg had this weird time where he was like...
Loving.
Buying clout, in a way. Oh. Like he was like... Like, oh, let me go to the director of, you know, these other things. He, like, a lot of that early stuff he produced was just, like, him being like, I won't make this well, but can you do it? And I think Poltergeist is a perfect thing because you feel the Spielbergian, like, suburbia in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it feels like E.T. in a lot of ways.
Right. But then, like, the parents smoking weed when the kids go to bed, that's totally Tobe Hooper.
Yeah.
And the film's written by Kim Hankel and Tobe Hooper. If I were to describe this movie in a word, it would be sweaty.
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 Yeah.
Stinky. It's a hot. It is stinky.
It's a hot, stinky movie.
Yeah. It begins with John Larroquette from Night Court doing basically an Orson Welles impression.
Reading the news.
Reading.
I didn't know there was John Larroquette.
Yeah, John Larroquette. What? They paid him in weed. He
they did. That's this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's this movie for you.
He was like their friend or something. And they were like, hey, can you do this? You kind of sound like Orson Welles. And he was like, sure, just pay me in weed.
Yeah.
And you know, as a kid, well, a couple years ago, me and William, we did an episode on the Horror Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And that was where I first heard of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because they did they did a segment that was like a lifetime achievement kind of thing to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it just looked the scariest shit ever. And I remember asking my dad about it. I was a kid. And my dad was like, oh, yeah, I saw it with my friend. It was the scariest movie I ever saw. And I was like, oh, my God. And I got in my head that it was real.
I'm sure a lot of people thought it was real.
Because it's done...
The disclaimer at the beginning of the movie,
right.
I'm sure, blew people's minds back then.
It sets it, and the disclaimer.
We're so used to it now.
Right. It really seems like you're watching a true crime thing.
Yeah.
Because John Larroquette's thing is very, it's very, what do you call it? Inverted pyramid journalism. It's very like, here's what, when, how, and what we're calling it.
Yeah.
And then it says the date.
Yeah.
Which Toby Hooper always said, I don't know why people fell for it, because the date's the date that the movie came out. How could I be documenting?
It says 73.
It does.
It does say 73. That's because I thought this movie was made in 73 based on that. And then I looked it up and it was 74.
Oh, okay.
So it says 73. Okay. Yeah.
So I the one thing that stands out for me in the opening is macabre.
Macabre, absolutely.
The madness and the macabre.
The sound of the flash photography. Such a great... They do so much with sound in this film.
Oh, the sound is incredible.
They do. We were talking about this. Well, you know the reason I picked this. Not because
you're a nasty, dirty bitch.
Not because of, you know, I get intense feelings of euphoria from watching this movie.
Right.
No, I've only seen it once prior to this.
Is that right?
Yes. Because... After finishing it, I was like, you know, I only saw this once before, and it was many years ago. It was probably like 15 years ago or something. And I was like, that's enough.
Yeah, it is enough.
That's enough. But the reason I picked it was because Bill had never seen it. So, really? Yeah. So I was like, let's watch it together. Let's do that.
Really?
And I've seen the other one so many times. I was like, let's do this one.
How did you feel? Thumbs up? Thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
You feel less scared and more sad for the world. You're like, the world is sad, horrible place.
It's a fascinating film. It is like, well, it's so creative. They do so much with so little in terms of like what the budget must have been.
Right.
And in terms of like the design of the costume, the design of the set, and the sound design.
A lot
design.
Of that's real, by the way. A lot of it's just like they would go to butchers and be like, give us ribs, give us chicken bones.
Just give us whatever, yeah.
Like, most of the like non-human bones mm-hmm. that you saw are all real bones. And apparently it, like, stunk.
I'm sure it did. It looks like it
stunk.
Because
it was super hot when they were actually filming it, too.
It looks stinky and awful. Yeah. And, you know, sorry, just to backtrack a little bit to Psycho.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, that's sort of the where it begins.
Right, because...
This and Psycho are both based on Ed Gein.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, Psycho is sort of a more straightforward Ed Gein kind of tale.
Right, right. It doesn't, like, lean into the lurid.
No, it where this is what this like, totally great, does. That's all this is, right?
There's and so many like, human
Ed
lamps.
Gein was just, the whole family was Ed Gein.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all human lamps all the time.
Yeah. And I like that they just want the product. That's what they want.
There's such a...
They want the meat. They want the skins. They want the yeah. bodies. They just want the bodies.
Yeah. What I didn't get...
He says, I don't care for killing.
Yeah, that was... I'm haunted by that thought. It's so fascinating to me.
I don't care for killing, but you got to do it.
Right.
How else are you going to get
which
the skins?
Which makes it more terrifying
yes,
than the other people.
Yeah. Oh,
but there's such an
we're jumping all over the place, but it's
that's
just
fine.
It's,
I am.
Yeah.
I feel no obligation to like.
Oh, like bring people up to speed on what Texas Chainsaw Massacre
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I feel like you've watched.
I'll give it a little backstory. Sure. It's five young people are on a road trip. I never get the sense that they're from like out of town, except maybe Ginsburg.
right.
And but
I get the sense that they're.
Franklin seems like a real Texan.
Franklin, for sure.
Yeah.
But the others seem like... See, I think there's a...
Maybe they're like back
from
college or something.
There's a lot of tension between North and South in this. There's a lot of tension between old and young in this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of tension between education and uneducated in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like labor and education. To me, that's one of the reasons why I think it doesn't fit into the lineage of slashers, because it's way smarter than any slasher mm-hmm. movie. It's basically, they became cannibals because the slaughterhouse
shut down
yeah. and it destroyed the economy of their town.
Mm-hmm.
And these young hippies who come up and don't have any respect for them,
mm-hmm.
they fucking get what they have coming to them. I'm with the old man.
You know, it's funny in their car, like yeah. car collection.
Yes.
There's like a couple of Volkswagen Beetles. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, you know, yeah. pretty... intentional
yeah
the hippie car
is that a real Ed Gein thing,
what the cars?
Yeah,
no,
because those are all like I guess the victims' cars.
Yeah, those are all the victims' cars. Ed Gein is a serial killer by a hair. He is not a true serial killer. He was really more of a grave robber. He got caught on his second kill, But technically, you have to be 3 kills to be a serial killer. And although he's never officially been credited for his brother's death, they think he did it.
Yeah, okay.
Because basically, he came to town and was like, my brother, there's something wrong with my brother. And then they came and they're like, well, where is he? They said there were, you know, they do like controlled burns of fields.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said we were doing a controlled burn and I don't know what happened to him. So he got help, came back, and then walked everybody right up to the spot where his brother was. Wow. So dead. And they think he did it.
Did he kill his mother?
No. No, but he loved his mother. And
Henry Lucas killed his mother, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think so.
I was reading about him recently this week because I watched Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, that's what we named Henry after.
I thought so.
Yeah.
For the first time, and I was like looking it up, and it's loosely about Henry Lee Lucas.
Yes.
Who's famous for confessing to things he didn't do.
Yeah, he's a big time liar.
He killed
liar.
Like 3 people, a and he's like, I killed 600 people.
Yeah, a lot of the serial killers are like big time liars. But Ed Gein, he killed a woman, got away with it, and then killed another woman and got caught immediately. And he was really not a mastermind, you know? He's the only serial killer who has been able to successfully use a plea of insanity.
Right, okay.
And it's because you have, like, they're crazy.
Wasn't he intellectually disabled, though?
He might have been, yeah. He used to, like, babysit the kids in town. He was a grave robber, mostly. He was a big-time grave robber.
By the way,
he's a product. He wanted that body, baby. He wanted those skins.
Grave robbing was such a scandalous crime, mm-hmm. and where is it in the 21st century?
I know. Who's robbing graves anymore? Nobody wants to work anymore.
Right, you never hear like this motherfucker's a grave robber.
Grave robber.
If somebody were a grave robber,
don't hang out with them. They're grave robbers.
I would be, if I met a grave robber at a dinner party, I'd be fascinated.
Can I come? I'd be
like,
you?
Is it just for the jewelry? Like, how long do you wait? Do you stalk?
Do you want like a fresh guy or you want an old one?
Because I feel like if you go to those old cemeteries where like it's people from like hundreds of years ago, no one really gives a shit.
Yeah.
As long as the stone stays there, they don't have any relatives. No one gives a fuck.
No.
You want to rob a grave? What? No.
I'm taking that jewelry off grandma before she goes in the ground. That ground's not going to do anything.
That's probably
with
where most of the grave robbing happens,
come on.
Right?
The grave robbing happens at the funeral, at the wake. Get it off of her before it goes in the ground. Mm-hmm. No, it's just for show. Let the people see it. Now you take it off, put her away.
Yeah.
No, thanks. So, there's photography sounds over the images of rotting flesh because they've broken this story that cemeteries...
Right. We hear the audio of a news report, which sort of echoes what we just heard in the opening.
And now these are like outsider art installations of bodies.
Right. They call it art.
Yeah. That they've found in the area.
And that
of, like,
shot
corpses.
Is insane, by the way, because it's like... they're silhouetted and the sun is behind them.
It looks like they're melting. It looks like Indiana Jones, like the melting
steam,
face.
There's like literal fog and steam.
There's
it
no buildup. There's corpses from minute one. Like it's corpse city.
It's the first images you see are still images of corpses.
Right. Yeah. They're going to this cemetery, this group of young people, to see if their
grandfather
was one of the bodies that got robbed.
Totally forgot that was in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's basically what they're doing in Night of the Living Dead. Brother and sister are going to a cemetery to see their in that case, it was their father, and then the dead are rising.
Yeah.
And this, it's their grandfather.
Yeah.
Which I think, again, there's that tension between old and young because when they get there, there's all those old fucking altacotters hanging around.
Yeah.
Altacockers, whatever they call that, hanging around the cemetery just being weird and old.
And there's a drunk grave digger.
Yeah.
Right? Who's like, oh, there's things that go on here, but you don't want to know about them.
Yeah.
It's like he's on the take.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely on the take.
We can't keep it as canon because it's ridiculous, but if you were to look at the canon of like... Part two, the Sawyer family, which is the name of Leatherface's family.
Right.
They are like, they're in control of fucking everything.
Mm.
And even in this movie, they control everything, right? They control the gas.
The gas.
Which there's no gas.
There's no,
and this movie would have been filmed towards the end of the 1973 gas crisis.
Gas crisis, yeah.
So there's no gas. So they're robbing graves. They're working in the gas station. Mm-hmm. There's the hitchhiker who's, and then they worked in
the slaughterhouses.
The slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Well, so okay, so, I noticed early on, it's like the girl, the final girl, Sally. It's Sally, right? Yeah. Hardesty. That's their family.
Yes.
Franklin and Sally. Sally gets like grabbed by the arm by one of these like old guys hanging out at the cemetery and is like, I'll take you with me. Oh, I might steal your girl there, buddy. And it's just like getting like dragged along too.
They're like, she's looking for her grandpappy or whatever. Yeah.
They just pull her away. Yeah. And then the other woman is like, please don't pick up this hitchhiker. Please, please. Yes. Just totally ignores her. Just goes to pick up the hitchhiker. It's like, who gives a shit about these women, right? Let's drag them around. Like, who cares if they're talking?
I don't remember her name at all, the other one, by the way.
I don't. Do we learn her name?
Oh, I think you do. I think we learn her name.
Okay. She's very into the Zodiac. Right?
Yeah, I was going to ask. That comes up a bunch of times, and she gives a sort of gloom and doom.
She's like, it's a sign of malice. We're under a planet of malice right now or something. Yeah.
And Franklin's like, I don't know if I believe that. But he keeps like thinking about it. He's got very Chucky Finster vibes.
Franklin, like he's a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing we see of Franklin is he's getting wheeled out. So he uses a wheelchair.
How lurid is this movie?
It really is. He's getting wheeled out to pee on the side of the road. They like give him a coffee can. And then like a truck drives by and the gust of wind is strong enough to like set him down the hill.
Yeah.
Where he like rolls out of his wheelchair and collapses and faints. And it's like a bit much.
It kind of sucks that the way they treat him in this movie.
Absolutely. Because
and the way they depict him.
They depict him. So I was like, Franklin is portrayed as childlike, but I think it's a prejudice of disabled people being mentally infirm. Like your physical disability automatically means that you're mentally incompetent in some way. So I think, and I don't know.
He's also the only one not coupled up.
Right.
Like the others are clearly fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get the sense that he's like not worthy of a sexual relationship, not worthy of a romantic relationship. Yeah. And also just like he's really childlike. Yeah. He's sort of pestering them like a younger brother would, although he looks like he's the same age as everybody, maybe even older.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that the actor him portraying them is disabled. So I don't know. I don't think so.
That's funny. I've never even thought to look that up.
I don't think so because I think the portrayal is sort of like a biased portrayal.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it's how, and at the end when Sally's like, I can't push you.
Yeah.
When he's like, I want to go with you. It's heartbreaking in a way.
Yeah. You know, he's also overweight. It's like he's the only one eating at any point. Like he eats a sausage from the gas station.
He's eating pig's feet at one point, which is, I know people eat it.
Yeah.
No offense.
I'm offended.
It's so gross.
It's so gross. It's so gross.
Because they look like pig's feet.
Yeah.
So again, it's meat. This movie's all about meat. And later on, Toby Hooper said, I became a vegetarian while making the movie.
I'm sure he did.
And he later on, he said that he, let's see, his acting career? I don't think he was, he wasn't truly disabled.
Yeah.
Paul A. Partian.
Okay.
Partine. He said, yeah. Later on, he was like, yeah, you know what? It is a vegetarian movie because it's almost the perfect PETA movie, right? Because PETA always will try to shock you by equating humans to animals and like, what if it was your sister in a supermarket? And that's really what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. So they pull to the gas station. They pull up to the gas station, and the guy's like, "We don't have any gas. You can hang around until the gas tank comes
get a warm Coca-Cola."
Yeah, and they ask him if he knows where the Franklin house is, and he says, "You don't want to be messing around by an old house. Like, don't go by an old house." It's weird because he's like, so
I think he doesn't want. I think he wants to save them.
I think so too. It's like he's telling them stay away. Like, don't go over there. The Franklin house is not the house where the Sawyer family lives, they're like backyard neighbors with them,
right? And it's the grandparents of Franklin and Sally
had this house, which is now like derelict, which they're going to visit on their fun road trip,
which is
the again, cemetery so into the derelict house.
The fact that it's this beautiful house that's derelict shows the economic decline strife of this area.
Yeah. So, also, did you notice on the sign, the gas station sign has like, it says gas, and then there's like a Coca-Cola, and then it says barbecue. And then in very small letters next to it, it says We Slaughter.
Wow, I did not see that.
I was like,
what? Well, I noticed that there when she runs into it at the end, he's smoking. There's a smoker inside, and she looks at the smoker and she sees odd shaped meat.
It's a real small time operation, though. It's not like he's got a whole big back cooking. It's just like a tiny little stove where he's like making.
It's not
the
like
meat.
Part two where the first scene I think is at like the Texas Chili Convention and he wins like a gold medal. Part two is brilliant in such a different way. Because he was like, I can't do this again. So why don't we just make a comedy version of it?
Oh, my gosh. Part I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's so good. It's really so good.
I have to check it out.
It's the only other one that's worth looking at.
Okay.
Three, and then it goes one, two, and then there is a three that's just called Leatherface. And then from there on, it's just remakes. It's like five remakes.
Well, I was looking at, is three the one that's the beginning?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
That from 2006 is the beginning.
That's the beginning. That was a sequel to one of the remakes.
Yeah, because Bill was saying, I want the story of the grandpa. Like, what's his deal?
Yeah.
That is the story of the grandpa, but it's not really a story. It's just like, he worked in a slaughterhouse, and he killed his boss.
Right.
How's that?
But the hitchhiker says automation was the problem.
Because
the grandfather used to be the best
at sledgehammer. Yeah.
And now they use
which is also what Upton Sinclair's The Jungle is about.
Really?
Upton Sinclair's The Jungle is all about this guy who is an immigrant. He comes to, I think, Chicago and works in one of the slaughterhouse, like one of the meat factories there.
Really?
And he's he's like perfect young body, he's super strong, and he's the one who beats the cows with a sledgehammer. And it's basically about how like the industrialization of America and like this factory system destroys him and destroys his body and like and uses him and spits him out until he can't lift the sledgehammer anymore, which is so interesting because at the end, like, the grandpa can't
hold
lift
it anymore.
And it's basically this commentary on like the American like factory system and how it like chews up and spits out young people.
Yeah. You know what else I was thinking about? Have you seen No Country for Old Men?
I have, The bolt gun.
Anton Chigurh, he kills people using the newer method, which is the air gun.
The air gun, yeah.
And that's so interesting. Yeah, there's so much of division. It's like the two Americas, right? Old, young, South, North.
Yeah, I mean, educated, not educated, yeah. So, they come across this horrible smell, right? They're like, what is that?
And
it's
the
like
slaughterhouse.
And it's the slaughterhouses.
Yeah.
And around there, the driver picks up what can only be called an absolute lunatic.
I think that they were very much thinking about, I think she had a note for this. Manson had been arrested.
Oh, totally, man. Okay.
When was Manson? He had been convicted not that long before this movie comes out. I made a note of it because I was like, when is Manson in comparison to this movie?
Well, we're in the 70s. It's the heyday of the serial killer in the United States. Like the real serial killer, not the movie serial killer.
Right. Of course I can never find the fucking notes that I make. But yeah, I think they're thinking of the Manson family, especially with the hitchhiker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hitchhikers. So the 1970s, we have the guy who was killing hitchhikers, co-ed hitchhikers all up and down the coast of California. Whose name I can't remember now, of course. There was Bundy, of course. There was Gacy. We had, I think Dahmer was in the 70s. Like, the 70s are the heyday of the American serial killer.
Manson was convicted in 1971.
Okay. So definitely they're thinking of Manson.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And Manson is always tied into hippies and like the younger generation
too. Like the counterculture.
Yeah.
And like the moral decay of that culture. And see what happens
when you fuck when you're not married. Right. This is what happens.
Yeah, and you smoke reefer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. So there's this like heyday of the American serial killer, and like this movie comes out, and then there's also these other movies around the same time where it's like Last House on the Left and Black Christmas, and this one where they're all like very interested in torturing women.
Yeah.
And so, because that's what they're doing with her, right? Like, at the end, they're, like, torturing her. They're tying her up. Yeah, yeah, they're, like, yeah, cutting her finger. And I feel like it's this response to, you know, the women's...
Oh, second wave feminism.
Yeah, second wave feminism.
Wow. Where yeah, like, that makes
we'll,
sense.
We'll put you in your place.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I feel like they're... it's like this... this desire to sort of sort of squash that and like we'll do it on film.
Interesting.
I don't know.
No, I think that's a really interesting point.
Also, because she's like braless, she's got the long hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I sort of I looked at her braless and I was like, she's burned her bra.
Yeah,
she's a liberated woman.
Well, that for the first time when I watched it yesterday, I was like, you know, we see the matriarch too. Grandma's body is up there next to Grandpa, yeah, and we assume Grandpa's dead too, but he's not.
That's the weirdest part of this whole thing.
Because it's borderline supernatural.
Yes,
but if you follow the metaphor, it's like the fucking South never dying. It's like just die already.
Right,
go away. It's like institutionalized everything awful. Like please just go away.
Just get rid of
like,
it.
Like no, I'm gonna limp wristed like hold this fucking sledgehammer.
Yeah,
but they don't bring Grandma down. She's there.
She's dead.
Right.
She doesn't have eyes in her head and her teeth in her mouth. Like she's a full on corpse. And he looks like one too. Right. But when he starts moving, it's the.
But
he,
there's no,
that's when
there's
Bill
no
freaked out. He was like,
women.
What? What?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It seems like a completely, completely womanless.
Right. Except family. For Leatherface, who he has three different masks in it and
three?
All three are women. Yeah. He has. The first, I don't know what the fans call it, but the first mask that he wears
is
the more iconic one.
There's like his mom mask.
There's an old lady mask and a young pretty lady mask.
The pretty lady mask is what he's wearing at the end and the iconic, like he's in a suit and
yes,
flinging
that's
it
the,
around.
Yeah, right. And
but
people
also
call
when
that the Mad Tea Party.
When, oh, that's interesting. When he's you know, killing them,
yeah,
he's wearing one mask. And then what I noticed was when they come home for dinner,
yeah,
he's wearing the mom mask.
Yes.
Like that he's mommy.
Yes.
We're so fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's got makeup on.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the Snickers lady?
No.
Oh, we call her D-listed, one of my favorite websites that's like not even real anymore. Used to have the hot slut of the day and it was just like whatever like character on the fringe of pop culture
sure
was like, and they called it the Snickers Lady Pimp of Nightmares. And it is just Leatherface's mom mask.
Oh.
This was a Snickers commercial where it was supposed to be like two kids on each other's shoulders dressed as a woman, like trying to buy like a whole bunch of Snickers at the grocery store.
Everyone.
And it's like, hello. And it's so scary.
That's really scary.
It's just terrifying.
That's
and
so
I
scary.
I absolutely love it and how bizarre it is. But it's just Leatherface.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wow. And 20, Leatherface becomes like the icon of the movie and then the series. But really, in this film, Leatherface, he's maybe the most interesting because he doesn't communicate with words.
Yeah.
And he's always masked.
Always masked.
But he's not, in terms of like the family, he has a very small part. He's there watching the house.
Yeah.
He's not luring them in.
No.
He is the one slaughtering them.
He's minding his own goddamn business.
Yeah.
They show up at his house. He's like making Piggy.
He's scared.
Piggy, he's scared. He seems scared.
Yeah.
He's making Piggy noises.
Yes.
And they go in to investigate naturally, as you would. And just one by one.
Yep.
Like the house as slaughterhouse.
Yes.
Because in a slaughterhouse, they funnel the cows in one by one.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Wow, that's an interesting point.
And it's narrow. They do,
yes,
they send them down a narrow chute so they don't freak out because they like, Temple Grandin discovered this, they like to be hugged.
Yeah.
So to keep them calm, they keep them in very, very narrow, like, pathways.
Yeah.
So they stay calm and they just walk in a line. And and like the cows to the slaughter, every single one that walks in is calm into the house.
Yeah, they walk right
Right in. They walk down that narrow hallway.
Yeah.
And then they get slaughtered by
right.
Leatherface, who's in his
yeah.
apron at all times, you know, with the hammer. He's always got his hammer.
Right. He is the butcher.
He's the butcher. He's the slaughterer, right?
Yeah.
He's doing that. So Bill's like, God, the saturated color
yeah.
red at the end of the hallway.
The heat.
Yeah. It's nothing else is that color in the house. It's just that end of the hallway.
Yeah.
And then you immediately go into the kitchen where it's white. You know, it's just like a regular kitchen.
In like 2010 or something, Madame Tussauds in Manhattan had a like Icons of Horror walkthrough thing.
Okay.
And I for some reason, I don't remember why, I was like, I smoked weed and went alone.
Oh, God.
And I was like, let me go in this thing. And there was a young couple ahead of me, and I kind of was up their ass, and I was like, I'm sorry, but I'm walking with you because I'm terrified. And then they were like, we understand. We're also terrified. And I saw the metal door, and I was like, motherfucker, this is – I know it's going to happen. And I walk by it. Boom, it opens, and then a performer with a fucking chainsaw comes out. And I'm like, oh, this is what I thought was going to happen.
Interestingly, Franklin's the only one who gets killed with a chainsaw. Everybody else gets hammered.
Yes. Right. The Chainsaw Massacre is. Well, the original name of the script was Head Cheese.
Head Cheese.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Which is, they talk about Head Cheese.
They talk about Head Cheese.
But again, even that's economic, right? Head Cheese is about not wasting anything.
No, you don't waste anything. You don't waste any part. It's like poor people's food. Yeah.
Right.
You
right.
boil the head, take and out Franklin's the tongue.
And Franklin's like, yeah, I like head cheese.
He's like, I sure do.
Yeah.
After I pick my nails with this knife.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's weird.
The knives and the... It's all meat. It's all about meat.
Yeah. And everyone's getting cut. Like, the hitchhiker cuts his own hand. Then he cuts Franklin.
And he, like, marks the car. Yeah.
This fucking driver. Picks not only picks him up, and then as soon as he's in the car, they're like, I think we just picked up Count Dracula to him. And he's like, he's got like a real Renfield vibe about him as well.
Yeah, right.
So he's like, I'm by the slaughterhouse. And he's talking about, you know, cows.
He
and Franklin
does a lot of
couldn't
weird shit.
Be more interested in this guy, right? Like, he's like, you're the my best friend now.
Yeah.
So they're talking, and then at no point does he stop the driver, like, after he takes Franklin's knife and cuts his own hand.
Yeah.
After he takes Franklin's picture and then demands $2 for it
and then sets
a picture on fire with gunpowder.
And then saves it.
Yeah, saves it. Then cuts. It's only when he attacks Franklin and cuts his arm that he's like, all right, that's enough. Get out of the car. Like, all the other things were fine.
The self-injurious behavior is really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because why?
I don't know. That's the worst place to cut yourself to. On your hand?
Yeah.
You got to use it all day. You're moving it all the time. Yeah. It's stinging you constantly.
It's almost like
He likes
pain. Loves blood.
Yeah. He just likes blood. Yeah.
Oh, because one of the grossest things at the end is when they prick Sally's finger and they put it in Grandpa's mouth and he's like drinking her blood from her.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so, so gross. Bill made me laugh so hard.
What?
Bill made me laugh so hard because we were talking about, like, you know, this guy is the victim of several B&Es just today alone.
Yeah.
Like, people keep breaking into this poor guy's house. He's like, I'm just here trying on my Halloween costume. These people keep breaking into the house.
Right. This one girl with a very alluring crop top runs into my chicken room. I haven't had a chance to sweep up. Yes, it's
I'm
a dirty chicken
so
room.
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, that chicken room.
I know.
And the sound of the chickens.
It's the sound of everything.
And it goes on so long, too.
It's everything. There's
animal
some shots
sounds.
That go on for much too long. Like, there's at the dinner scene, which is truly just like a surreal nightmare.
Yeah.
There's too many shots of like her eyes and like going back.
Yeah, they're doing like weird.
They do like weird stuff.
And jump cutting with her eyes and
it's too much. I'm gonna say it's too much because they make a really truly interesting scene almost become boring because it's just going on a little too long with nothing happening. But the sounds are incredible.
But I'm gonna disagree with you there.
Oh, for the boring part?
Yeah, because I kind of really like that Leatherface and the hitchhiker are laughing and the old man, which is how he's credited, the old man.
The old man.
He keeps like laughing and then not. He'll be like, and then he'll see the others laughing, and then he'll start laughing, and then he'll like stop again.
He doesn't know what the hell's going on.
He's like halfway in, which is what's really crazy about him.
Mm.
And that's when he says, I just can't get any, I get no pleasure out of killing.
Yeah.
But you gotta do it.
You gotta do it. That, Belle said that that like red back of the hallway, he's like, that's like the heart of the house. Like, that's like the beating heart of the house, right? The slaughter is what keeps this house going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you were going to say after you said that scene was boring and then
the scene is not boring, but it goes on too long. Like it's not like so many things are happening. It's really nothing's happening. They just keep switching shots for too long.
If the lore is true, they were like going out of their minds when they filmed that.
I'm sure they were.
It was like a 90-degree day. They were filming during the day with blacked out windows to make it look like night. So it was so hot. They were sweating. I don't know if this is true or apocryphal, but they say like when they cut Sally's finger, they really did it.
Oh.
Because like it wasn't working the fake way, and then the guy who played Leatherface was like, "I'm just gonna fucking do it," and he just cuts her finger.
Oh.
And so I don't know if that's true, but they're just you can smell the madness.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things, especially, and you used to get this pre-internet age with like Wes Craven and stuff. Like, who are these filmmakers? Are these filmmakers insane people? Right, I don't trust them.
Yeah,
did some crazy person make this movie?
Yes, I would say so. They're in the sounds, just the sound design is incredible. So they go to the gas station, they're running out of gas. They're not totally out of gas yet. So they go to the Franklin house or the Hardesty house, and it's all derelict. Yeah. And there's weird sound happening there.
No, I think is it Franklin?
They call it the Franklin House.
Which is interesting, right? Because, again, that's more Southern shit. Because that means they named Franklin after
the surname.
Right, because they wanted to keep the name in the lineage.
Yeah. So she's talking about how she used to spend, like, summers there when she was a little kid.
But they're laughing at it, too, which is very, like, you young hippie bastards.
Yeah. And Bill was also like, so they grew up there, at least partially.
Yeah.
And they never knew their, like, backyard neighbors were these lunatics?
I don't think they became that way until the slaughterhouse closed.
Wow.
I think they turned to cannibalism. Obviously, they're thriving in it and they're enjoying it.
Mm.
But I think they turned to it when everything else failed. The economy failed. It's like when he shuts off the light and he's like, I got to turn it off. The electricity put a man out of business.
Yeah.
Like, they're so conscious.
It's like they run a gas station and that's going under because of the gas crisis. And they've already lost the slaughterhouse business.
They're selling their own meat at the gas station.
Oh, man. So
gas station barbecue. Ooh.
I know. Let's say having a gas station hot dog now. You know, it's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That's human meat.
Probably. So one of the couples breaks off. They say, we want to go to the swimming hole.
Yeah.
They say something that makes me so sad. They go down this like pretty steep hill.
Yeah.
And they're like, how did Franklin make it down here? Like when he was a kid. Mm. And the girl's like, someone probably carried him because he was little. And the other guy's like, Franklin was never little. And I'm like,
you guys have shitty friends.
What? You suck.
Franklin does have that vibe of like the one who, whether they did or didn't, he feels like they didn't really want him to come.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just the brother of the girl.
Yeah. He's fifth wheeling it.
Yeah.
They see the house in the distance and they're like, let me go ask if they have some gas or like I can leave my guitar.
Right,
have his guitar.
You shitty fucking hippie.
It's so weird. He's like, I'll leave my guitar and then I'll come back with money and give them money. And I'm like, babe, you don't have your guitar with you, so what's this plan? Yeah. In any event, they go in, they get killed. Then they don't come back for a while, obviously. Now Glasses goes to look for them.
Yeah.
He gets killed immediately. Yeah. And now it's dark. They're like laying on the horn, screaming.
But the first girl who goes, the one who falls into the chicken room, she then gets put on the hook.
Oh, she gets put on the hook. Yeah.
One of the most horrible kills in the movie.
Yeah.
But
because she's still alive. It doesn't kill her.
Right. What's so striking is that how like banal it is for Leatherface.
Mm-hmm.
Like as if she is just an animal. He's just like, you're meat. I'm going to put you here. He's not thinking, he's not angry. He's not like, I'm going to put you here because I'm mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm going to put you here because I'm going to eat you later. And you might be screaming, but who cares? A cow would be yelling. Like you're just making noise, which is fine. All animals make noise when we slaughter it.
Mm.
It's just like the banality of it. I mean, not even like you're not even murdered out of malice. Like you're put on a shelf. You're just like, you are a thing now. And I don't care that this is excruciating pain for you. This is how we hang you.
Yeah.
Your meat.
It won't matter in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
It's like, it'll be okay. It'll be quick. Although she seems to be alive in the freezer, right? When they
she
find her.
She kind of convulses.
Or is it just like a body thing that's happening?
Well, that's cool too. When they kill.
When they hit the first guy, yeah, his legs are going. Yeah.
Which again, that's something you don't see in a lot of slashers. Yeah. Like the real like aftershocks of.
Well, it's also just the, it's blunt force trauma in this movie, which to me is like, it's worse than a knife.
Yes.
You know?
You're being, right.
You're being bludgeoned.
It should be called the sledgehammer massacre.
Yeah. There's that real good jump scare when they finally do decide they're going to go look for them in the dark.
Yeah.
And they have the, like, Leatherface comes out of the dark with the spotlight on.
That reminded me almost like a fairy tale. Cause I was like, we're going through the woods at this point.
Yeah. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
There's this nightmare logic to that part. Like from that point on, it becomes a nightmare.
Right. Cause it becomes day very quickly.
Yeah. There's, so like for instance, okay, so there's like sort of a fuzziness to the location, which makes me think like, oh, it's like a dream because wasn't there a hill there before? Uh-huh. But now there isn't. Right. And they're in the dark and now this monster comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Immediately dispenses with Franklin.
Yeah.
With the chainsaw and then is chasing her.
Yeah.
And now it's always like, in the end as well, it's always like they're so close.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The monster is so close, right? So like the chainsaw is so close to touching her. He's so close to catching her, but he doesn't. And then she gets to the gas station and he's gone. So it's like a dream. It's like he's just gone. Now the chainsaw's off.
Right.
Like she doesn't hear it anymore. Like she sees the open door.
Yeah, the open door is so frightening.
That's so scary. Because she expects him to come through like any moment, right? But he never does. So then
she doesn't realize she's gone right into...
Oh, she went... Yeah, she went right into the trap. Yeah.
And the old man is... At the beginning there, he's like, nice.
Yeah, he's like, don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah. It's okay. We'll get you the truck and we'll get you some help. And she notices the meat.
Yeah.
He comes back in with a burlap sack.
Which is never good.
No. But this was also like comical because he beats her with a broom. Rather comically.
Again, like an animal. Like you're shooing
like
an animal.
Like you would shoo a raccoon or something.
Right. It's that they're treated not like human beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's like poking her in the bag, which is...
That is so sadistic to me because... So it's deranged. Like his voice is calm and his voice is saying reassuring things to her. Yeah. But his face is like menacing.
Yeah.
And he's like really sort of viciously like... It's like stabbing and jabbing with this broom handle. He's like, don't worry, it'll all be all right. It'll all be all right. And he's like stabbing her with it.
I was thinking that he's tenderizing her.
Yeah, could be.
She is just meat, right? Yeah. He's just making sure that meat is nice and tender.
I sort of felt like he was just torturing her. You
yeah,
know?
For sure.
Just, you know, getting in a few licks.
Yeah.
She does not stop screaming, like from this point on.
And... realism, folks. You would not stop screaming either.
Yeah.
And you know what? She gets away. She doesn't outsmart anybody. She gets away out of pure will.
Just pure adrenaline.
Just I'm gonna keep out the fucking door. Trying.
Yeah. She's tied up. They bring her into the house.
Now, this is the only time I feel like this movie slips into comical, which is when you have the three of them talking to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And he's yelling at him for fucking
it's
up the
like
door.
It's like Three Stooges, right? Yeah. They're like, oh, why'd you have to do that? Because then, well, they're pulling up to the house, right? And you see the hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, this dummy.
Yeah.
He
I told you not to, whatever.
Right. It's like, you almost got us caught.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So that deranged lunatic and then the dad, I guess, and they come home to Leatherface mom, who's been making dinner for them.
Yeah.
He's got his mom.
I think they're
on.
Brothers, the three of them.
They're all three brothers.
Yeah, I believe.
They say grandpappy. So I figured he was the dad of the two of the other ones.
Oh,
but
maybe
not. I don't know. What's your take, Bill, on their relationship? You thought it was the dad?
The old man was the dad?
Oh, the man in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
think
he's the father of Leatherface? Okay.
I thought that as well.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure. You know, I don't know. Right, who knows? He could just be the oldest brother.
It doesn't matter because you know there's incest in that family.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, oh, he's wearing the mom mask. I'm like, do they fuck Leatherface?
It's very possible.
I'd like to see that.
And read my fan fiction.
I was like, during the dinner scene, I was like, the aristocrats. I was like, this is the family.
I know.
And
then they start arguing because the hitchhiker is like, he won't kill. And they're like mocking him for not killing. Yeah. And you see like the tension between them.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like that's you're a pussy in their family. Like, you won't kill.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they're all
you're
pretty,
just the cook.
They are all pretty good performances.
Yeah, I think say. So.
Phil noticed in that scene there's fresh hands on the chair. Like, all the furniture in their house is made of bones and skin. And, you know, it's all like Ed Gein stuff.
Yeah.
But he noticed that there were fresh hands, so there must be her friends, like someone. Yeah,
I didn't put that together.
Yeah,
it seems like hitchhiker kills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the old man cooks and like is kind of the boss of the family, and then like the scraps are like Leatherface can make art out of it,
right? Is he the artist of the family?
I think so.
How beautiful.
Art therapy is very good for you.
What? You do in a weird way, even though he's so terrifying.
When he's freaking out, you feel bad for him a
you
little bit.
You feel bad for him. He's like, I'm in too deep. Right. I did it this time. I really did it.
Nobody ever comes to that house ever. And in one day, three people come, one after the other. You'd be flipping out.
Yeah, well, he is. And what's so crazy about the whole thing is we just got through with this absolute nightmare scene where he's running around with a chainsaw and chasing, and he's the monster out of a nightmare. And then you come home and this, like, nobody schlub from the gas station is yelling at him and he's cowering.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what?
Right.
You yell at the monster?
Yeah.
Like,
whoa,
that's scary.
Right.
That's even scarier. Like, who are you?
Yeah, there's a point where he's yelling at him for something and then he stops and then he starts yelling at him for something else. He's like, what'd you do to the door?
Yeah. Oh, look yeah. Well, when they come home, he's like, look what he did to the door. Look what your brother did to the door.
You know, that place, by the way, is now a charming bespoke bed and breakfast in Texas.
My goodness,
you can look it up. It looks beautiful, but you can, like, those are the stairs. That's like that's the chicken room.
There it is. Oh no.
And it's so the house is so scary
because it's scary.
It's like too depressing. Like, even if there weren't murders going on, you'd be upset to be there.
You wouldn't want to be there.
Just the old wallpaper and
it's disgusting. It looks like sort of like a hoarder's house. Like
a lot of and this is probably due to the way they were shooting it, but a lot of like just empty lamps without shades.
Right, lamps without shades.
Just direct harsh light.
So bright. So bright. Well, that's the thing. It's like it forces you to look at everything. There's no like things that are obscured by darkness. There's no like, there's no developing a sense of dread from shadows.
Right. When you get to, when she's tied up in the chair, you, the audience, are like, you're in this now.
You feel like you're her. Like, I can't look away because she can't look away. Everything is
bright.
And it's
sustained fear.
Yeah.
It's not a jump scare. Again, I don't put down jump scares.
The number of times this bitch jumps out a window, thank God. Like, good for her. Yeah. The best move she ever did, both times, jumps right out a window. Go for it.
Absolutely.
Jump right out that
and at
window.
At the end, she's covered in blood.
Yeah. But sorry, about
she's,
the dinner
she's ruined
scene.
Forever, by
she's,
the way.
Oh, her, definitely.
She may be alive, but
her mind is shattered from this dinner scene.
And that poor truck driver guy, holy the God, only person
I,
of color.
Please, I want to dedicate at least 10 minutes to talking about that guy. But all right, let's finish up the dinner scene because go get Grandpa.
Yeah.
Go bring Poppy down.
Right. For a treat, he was the best slaughterer. Mm-hmm. One time he did 60 cows in 5 minutes. He would have done more if they were pushing the line faster.
Right.
And they're like, for a treat, we'll have him kill her. And he can't do it at all.
He can't do it. They have a galvanized
and this is almost,
bin where they're holding her head. The hitchhiker's holding the head
and
over.
And she's screaming, and it's like, they're not,
screaming
it's not
the
happening.
The whole time, the whole
keeps,
way through.
Like,
Leatherface is like his carer and holding on to him and like keeps gently placing this sledgehammer in his hand.
Yeah.
He can barely hold it. It keeps sort of like falling out, but falling onto her at times, which
it's like it's still hurting.
You know, hurts.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, and then at one point he does get a little whack in and then it's just like a thud.
Yeah.
There's blood. It's gross. The whole thing is gross. And now the hitchhiker is like getting more and more revved up. And, you know, he doesn't practice patience. So he jumps up and is like, let me do it. I'll do it. And in doing that, gives her the opportunity, that moment where she has to act, where she's been like up all night, terrorized, just got clunked in the head, has the presence of mind to be like, I'm out.
It's daylight.
Goodbye. Jumps right out the window.
Some small respite. When you, the audience, see that it's daylight, you're a little bit
maybe
like,
we can wake up from this hellish nightmare.
And as you were saying, like, they're so close. She's running and the hitchhiker's so close, he's scraping her back with his knife.
With a knife. He's stabbing her. Yeah. He can stab her. And he's running serpentine.
Yes.
He's just, if he were running in a straight line, he'd have her. But he's like so deranged. He's just like running all
and
over willy
nilly.
Leatherface
is freaking out.
Leatherface is chasing. And then she runs out into the road. He continues to stab her while she's in the road. And this giant truck comes and misses her by a hair, but hits him.
Yeah.
And
which is beautiful.
It's great. He gets pulverized. But Leatherface is there and is still coming. Doesn't matter that the big truck is there. Yeah. He's chasing.
That guy stops to like
help her.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. The only person of color in this whole film.
Yeah.
Which reminded me so much again of Night of the Living Dead, where he's the only man of color. He's the hero. He comes to save her.
And he's a laborer.
He's a laborer. He's a truck driver. He's a working man.
Yeah.
And he just immediately helps her, grabs her, pulls her into the truck. Leatherface is there, like carving up the side of the truck with the chainsaw. He, I guess, doesn't hit the gas and just slides out the other side. Cause she's like, I'm out. I can't.
Yeah.
Jumps out the other side of the truck and starts running again. He grabs like a giant wrench. And runs out the side of the car also. Leatherface continues to chase
them. He's like,
them.
Fuck this.
Yeah. So now
he leaves his truck.
He leaves his truck. They both are running away. He throws the wrench at his head, at Leatherface's head. This is my favorite scene in the whole movie.
It's such chaos.
It's so tense. It's chaotic. It's crazy. There's so many witnesses to the madness of what's happening. Because then another truck pulls up.
Yeah.
And Leatherface never stops. At any point, it's not like, oh, I'm going to be caught. It's like, no, I'm going. I'm going for broke. Like, today's the day. By the way, on
the truck, on the door of the truck, written is the words Black Maria.
Black Maria, yeah.
Which I...
Or Black Mariah, right? Isn't
Black
that
Mariah,
the original
Edison's,
film?
Yeah, Edison's studio.
So interesting.
I don't know if that means anything.
I don't know.
But the film nerd in me is like, huh.
I love the guy. I love him. I love his little yellow t-shirt. I love everything about
him.
He's
like, fuck.
He's like,
this.
How the, what white nonsense did I pull into
and
today?
I guess he lives. He just goes.
He goes. He just runs.
He's just like,
because
out.
They both are running and then another truck pulls up and she jumps in the back and drives. And he's missing her by a hair.
Right.
Like he's just so close.
Yeah.
And the guy, the truck driver, he's like out of there. He's booking it. He's out. He's gone. And you never see him again.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened to him. I hope he lived. I hope Leatherface didn't decide like, well, I guess I'll go get that guy. I can't like that. I love the truck driver so much.
And the sound, you've got the chainsaw sound, you've got Sally screaming, you've got Leatherface squealing, and then it just cuts out.
It's black.
It's
it
a
goes
hard
to black.
Cut.
It goes to black. That's it. Yeah, it's incredible. What's funny is Bill's always been fascinated by this movie because of that last shot of Leatherface.
Right. That's the famous. Yeah.
Where it's like the suit.
Yeah.
The mask, the chainsaw, and the daylight, and just like spinning around
right.
and being nuts. And it's like, what the fuck is this movie? What is this movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's just chaotic intensity. Chaotic insanity. Like everything is madness by the end. It's all blown up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like anything that has been cooking is now reached its boiling point.
Yeah.
And bursts in this scene.
And then you've got to leave the theater.
Yeah.
You've got to walk out
like,
into your life.
Time to go.
You've just
time
seen
to go
that
pick
movie.
Up time to go pick up Peter,
right.
Which is what we had to do at the end of it.
Right.
Yeah. It's
or you got to go eat.
Bananas.
And now you're forced to think about what you're eating.
Yeah. It's over. It's just done.
She's
one of the final girls.
Yes. Yes. Final girl theory is mostly founded on the protagonist of Texas Chainsaw 2.
Interesting.
Mainly because it fits so well into the like mold of the theory, which is
okay.
The thing that it's sort of over time, it's been like kind of popularized, and it's become
well,
basically
it's like
it just means the girl who lives.
Yeah,
but in the Carol J. Clover's book, where it comes from, the final girl has to take the psycho's weapon.
Oh, use it against them?
Use it against them, okay. Which she does in the second movie. She takes the chainsaw. She uses
the chainsaw.
And like in some Freudian thing, it's like women protagonist represents pre-sexual male, and then taking the weapon is like male maturing.
Huh, okay.
And often the villains are unmatured, somehow stunted men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Norman Bates to, you right, know, all, right. Yeah. Comparing it to the rest of the films of this month, it's the scariest for sure. And as much as I love A Nightmare on Elm Street, and I might say something different next week, it's probably the best.
Interesting.
Or the smartest. It's certainly maybe the smartest. Maybe it
has
smartest. The
most to say. I think Nightmare on Elm Street is one of them that really has a lot to say. It has a lot to say.
But even that, as much as Freddy's like a slasher, he's not. Like, Freddy himself is like already a deviation of the form.
Mm-hmm.
But it is such a good movie.
It's so interesting. It looks like it was made for $3, and it's like, it's incredibly creative.
There's no nudity in it.
No.
Which becomes, you know, like, genre is a weird thing because we think of genre always from hindsight. Mm-hmm. And
there's objectification, though. Like, they do a shot, like, when the girls are by the Coca-Cola machine.
There's a lot of butt.
Where they're, like, shooting from the floor so they can see their butt. Yeah. That one girl has the halter top that, like, exposes her whole back. And then, of course, Sally has no bra on the whole time. And it is nip city.
And then Franklin's nips are all over the place.
Oh, Franklin.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, the things that always fit perfectly into the genre are like the middle of the cycle where like they've kind of established what it's supposed to be.
Right. Like, I would say Sally is one of the first, she's like a proto final girl.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she's a survivor. She survives by her own ingenuity. Yeah. Right. But she doesn't necessarily fit the mold.
No, not at all. Because she's not virginal. Mm-hmm. Which I think starts really with Halloween.
Okay. Although I was in my reading of doing like this final girl trope, they say that Laurie Strode isn't technically a final girl because she's saved by someone else.
Interesting. Yeah, theory, it's, you know.
But I would say she is.
That way. Right.
Because, you know, if we're developing this idea in like the cultural imagination, like, we're not adhering to rules.
Right. I agree.
In the beginning necessarily, or at any point.
So what are your wider feelings about slasher movies, since that is what we're talking about this Halloween season?
You know, it's funny. I've watched so many of them, but they're not my favorite horror genre. But it's so funny because I would say they're the most popular horror genre. I think people really love them. I think if we're looking at fan bases, like, they have the biggest, right?
Yeah. And I think they're coming back because the 80s in general is back, or thought of. Probably in, they're overestimated really more than they should. Like, people like, oh, so great. It's like, well, it wasn't that great. When I was a kid, it really was like all there was.
You know, I think I they're not my favorite because I find them so formulaic.
Sure, yeah.
Particularly the Friday the 13th films.
Right.
And in high school, I was like, I was dating someone who's like a big time Friday the 13th fan. So I've seen like every single one.
Sure.
And at a certain point, they all kind of like blend together for
right,
me.
Right.
So I like it when things deviate from that model.
Yeah.
I would say if I'm going to hold one up as like the like Aristotelian ideal of a slasher, it's Friday the 13th. And when I see...
Which is so interesting because it's such a boldface copy of Halloween.
Well, yeah, but I think it's
but no, it does all that. It has nudity.
It hits all the marks, right?
Except the fact that it's a whodunit.
Okay, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But this is true for all genre. There's never a perfect
box.
Right.
And you wouldn't want it to anyway.
Right.
But for me, that's like the not the prototype, but just the one that sort of fits it best.
I agree. Of what we're talking about this month, maybe that and Halloween are the two that fit it the best.
Yeah.
Although Halloween
I feel like Halloween is very tame. Is tame. Very tame. Yeah. Whereas Friday the 13th, it's more, I don't know.
It's
more like kinetic.
It's the cheapest and in some ways the sleaziest. This movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, is much more grimy and gross.
Yeah.
But there's something sleazy in its sort of disposable nature of Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the one you think of when you think of they're like churning out these movies,
right?
Like one after another. Right.
Yeah, they would go year by year.
Whereas I'm always happy to find something that really deviates from that, and I find like this really deviates from that. I'm probably not gonna watch it again for a while unless the boys turn into like real horror heads when they get older. I'm like, all right, fine, we'll break out.
You can only hope.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a slog when you've seen them so many times. You're like, I guess we'll watch it again. But in any event. I probably won't. Like, it's very cool. It's interesting. It's going to stay with me. I'm not going to revisit it. But, like, you know, something like Nightmare on Elm Street, I actually find it to be, you know, a really fun watch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I get...
What would be your favorite slasher movie?
Favorite slasher? Probably Scream.
Scream, yeah.
Scream. You know, Scream is, like, the thinking person slasher movie.
Right. And again, and it's, like, it's so far later. It's, like, a revisionist.
Yeah.
It's so aware of everything else.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's meta. You know, it's of our generation.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's probably Scream, yeah. And Scream is another one I've only seen once.
Interesting.
I've only seen Scream once. And I've never seen the other Screams.
Interesting.
I've only seen the first.
It's weird because Scream is so popular when I was a kid and then went away, and now it's so popular again.
Yeah,
the last popular. Last one was part six.
Yeah.
And it's the most popular any of them ever
it's
been.
It's super popular.
Made more money than any ever one.
It's super popular in the LGBT community.
Yeah.
The other shirt I almost got, and then I was going to get it for you, but then I saw this VHS, and I was like, I got to get that, was the, it's like a Barbie shirt, but it's a Sydney in the Barbie font. And then it's like a cartoon of Nev Campbell.
Okay.
Like with on the phone, and then like you see Ghostface in the corner, and I was just like, oh, this is a fun shirt.
Yeah.
And I saw that shirt because Trixie Mattel was wearing it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, love that.
Horror
in general is like a gay thing.
Yeah. Right, no. Yeah, I was just...
Which is so interesting. That on its own is interesting.
Yeah. Well, this has been an incredible episode.
Well, I'm so happy we did this.
Halloween is the greatest time of year.
It sure is.
And I feel like... I like when the podcast circles back around to something... not basic, but something like... foundational, because we do sometimes I wonder if like the podcast is a hat on a hat, like it's like we're doing so many things and then we're taking for granted our feelings on more fundamental texts.
Okay.
So I was glad to, because the two that I was thinking about, and we'll eventually do this other one, was the Universal Monsters.
Oh,
Dracula,
yeah.
Frankenstein, love Creature it. From the Black Lagoon.
Love it.
Wolfman, which eventually we'll do that.
I call Dracula.
Okay.
Because you know what? This and Dracula, I need people who eat blood. I need that.
Yeah, I need
cannibals.
Dracula's incredible.
Yeah.
That one shot with the bee. Is it a giant bee? Is it a little...
I've never... Are you talking about the like...
Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi movie. Yeah, I've never seen it.
What?
I was planning...
Alamo was playing it. We're seeing it. It's a double feature. Dracula and Dracula's Daughter, which is a very queer film.
Oh, well, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, when is it playing?
I gotta look it up.
All right.
So this has been PCMC Halloween 2023. We've got one more spooky episode for you.
Oh, what's left?
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, very cool.
With the host of the Lasser Cast.
Okay.
So, everyone, I hope you're enjoying your spooky month. I hope you're sipping on your pumpkin spice drinks, your pumpkin cream chai lattes.
I still have to try that.
It gives me insane diarrhea.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Insane diarrhea. I've only just gotten over it.
No.
And so, Jeanine Guillotine, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ooh, we end every episode by saying,
go boo, bye.